I love the Twin Cities. How many of you love the Twin Cities? Woo! You love the Twin Cities. You lived here. You stay in here. We thank God for you and for all that you're doing right here in the Twin Cities. So in this series, we've been talking about praying for the Twin Cities. We've been talking about healing our Twin Cities. We've been talking about helping our Twin Cities. But today, I'd like for us to bring hope to our Twin Cities. Hope. What is hope? Hope is a desire for something to happen matched with a belief or an expectation that it will be fulfilled. It is looking forward to a better tomorrow. It is approaching life as if, yes, this will happen and I believe it, I trust it, and I'm going to aim for that goal because I know if I do, it will happen. Let me tell you about a moment of hope in my life. It happened in November of 2021, actually November 7th to be exact. That date was the date that you all officially installed me as pastor of Mercy Vineyard Church. Now, that was incredibly hopeful and celebratory. Praise God for all of you that were involved in that. But what gave me hope was this little scenario situation. You see, on that day, some of y'all came in here with masks and some of y'all didn't. You see, we were coming out of, or still in, or do you really know where we are? This thing called a pandemic. And during the pandemic, right, that year of 2021, the city of Minneapolis dropped their mask mandate early in that year. And then they reinstated the mask mandate. And then they dropped it again. And what happened? People were confused. People were upset. People were disappointed. People were aggravated. There was so much attention in that one item of whether you're going to wear a mask or not. And there was so much division that happened because of a mask, a piece of cloth on a face or not. There were people who distanced themselves, ran away from church, ran away from God because of this source of a mask. The mask gave all kinds of trouble and strife and division on that day. But after the installation, a group of us got together. And we took a trip to the Target Center. The Target Center, because what was happening at the Target Center was one of my favorite comedians was there that night. His name is Dave Chappelle. I don't know if y'all ever heard of this man. But Dave Chappelle was at the Target Center that day. I mean, it was the hand of God that put all that together, right? Gary Dawkins installation, Dave Chappelle at the Target Center. I mean, it was amazing. So Pastor Leo, good friend, he told me about that David Chappelle was going to be there. We got our tickets, and thank God for Pastor Leo because he keeps his eyes open when he's in the Target Center and say, people didn't show up in their seats down there. We're going to get some good seats. Even though we paid for the ones up there. We went all the way down there. We had some great seats. I could see the stage. I was seeing backstage. We were so close. And it was amazing. It was such an amazing comedy show that, Dave Chappelle only advertised that he's going to be there. But it's always Dave Chappelle and friends. And some of my favorite comedians showed up at that show unannounced. And it was amazing. They got on the stage and hosted the show and did a phenomenal job. And at the end of the day, we were so excited and so blessed. So we just laughed our hearts out. It was a great comedy show. And so it was hours later. We thought it was all over. We got to the end of the show. We got to the end of the comedy show. Dave even showed a little movie that he had made. And we were ready to go now, get out in the car, get back to our families. When all of a sudden he came back on the stage and he said, ladies and gentlemen, I can't do Dave Chappelle's voice. It's crazy. Dave came back out on the stage and he said, listen, before you leave today, I have some of my friends here from California and they want to perform a few songs for you. Now, they're up and coming musicians, so I just need you to show them some love because they haven't made it yet and they need all the support they can get. So I just wanted you to support them today. And he walks off the stage. And then on the big LED screen, in behind the stage, said, Justin Bieber. And I was like, this is part of the comedy show. Yeah. No Justin Bieber coming out in the comedy show. Justin Bieber comes out and do a whole concert. We're like, oh my gosh, I was ready to go. And it was all us guys sitting up there singing Justin Bieber song. I'm looking at him. If y'all gonna sing, I'm gonna sing too. And so what an amazing surprise. It was such a entertaining evening, but it wasn't over. Because Dave came back out and said, I want to introduce you to another friend. He's an up-and-coming musician, too. You got to support him. And then all of a sudden, we look up at the screen, Usher. If you don't know any of these musicians, God bless you. Just go to Spotify. Like, Usher comes out, and he's performing with Justin Bieber. And then Dave Chappelle comes out, and he wants to rap and all. It's just funny. It's just hilarious. But it was an amazing event. There were so many surprises at that event. It was beyond our expectation. But we had such a great experience that all of us at that show told everybody that we knew about that experience for weeks and even months to come. We had such a great experience that I'm telling you about it a year and some change after that experience. You see, God will allow us to have some experiences in our lives, not just for us to hold on to them, not just for us to sit in the corner and enjoy them for ourselves, but he will give us experience in life because he wants us to get out of our comfort zone and to share the experience with someone else. Because if we go and share a great experience that we had with someone else, that can bring a sense of hope into their lives. That can bring a smile to their face. That could light up their life. God will allow us to impact some other people. So, if God can do and give me a great experience, he can do it for anybody. Will you follow me to the book of Revelation? If you have your Bibles, you can open them up or turn them on. The book of Revelation, one of my favorites. You're like, Gary, you gonna preach Revelation on Father's Day? You must be crazy. I might be. I never denied it. Revelation chapter number 21. I believe that there's a scripture of hope found here. From the NIV, it reads, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of water, of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" Amen. Isn't this an exciting, hope-filled passage? This is a glorious place that is being described in Revelation chapter number 21, where there will be no more pain and suffering, no more death, no more grief, no more anything that will cause a tear to come to our eyes. God said, if it does, he will be the one that wipes them away. What a beautiful place this is. This was written, a little history, by the Apostle John. And he wrote this to a group of first century Christians who were not going through the most glorious life. They didn't have the most special time. They were actually going through great persecution when he writes this to them. You see, the Roman Emperor Domitian was on the throne. He was the new emperor of Rome, the then known world, if you will. And Domitian, if you go back and do a little history lesson, was the first emperor on the throne to persecute Christians en masse. Let me tell you what he did. You see, he would he would send the Roman soldiers out to Christians' homes and rip them out of their homes and take their possessions. He would take over their homes and he would throw those Christians in prison. Some of those Christians he would take from the prisons and throw them into the arena with wild beasts so they could be torn apart live for the Roman citizens to watch and be entertained by. Some of the Christians that he didn't leave in prisons or throw them into the abyss of no return, he would burn them alive. He would crucify some Christians and put their crucifix at the border of the city so that anybody coming in and out would know that he was dominant. Domitian wanted you to know that there was only one king that you bow down to, and that's me. Domitian was a ruthless autocrat and a persecutor of the first century Christians. But all through all of that, Christians endured. Christians moved forward. Christians overcame. How did they do it? Because they had hope. They had hope that there was going to be a better tomorrow. They had hope in the midst of their suffering that God was true and everything that they had been taught would come to pass. They had a hope that even if things don't get better on this side, that there is another side that I'm looking forward to. There's a brighter day. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, that Jesus Christ is true, that my experience with God would carry me through to a better day. These people lived their lives in such an inspirational way that non-Christians at the time saw their behavior and started to ask questions. Non-Christians at the time, the Roman citizens were looking and seeing these Christians who were happy, even though they were being defeated. These Christians who were smiling, even though they were being persecuted. These Christians that held on to their faith, even though they were being killed. They didn't deconstruct and run away and say, well, nobody's on my team and my side. They said, no, Jesus Christ is Lord and I'm sticking with him. Amen. These non-Christians, they were looking upon them. They were asking questions. And what did they eventually figure out? They saw and they identified that, man, if these people in the midst of such tyranny and persecution can stand their ground, can even smile, can even stand up for the people who are going through something else, they can even care for the stranger and the sick and the incarcerated, they can identify themselves as Christians without hiding. If they can do all of that when they're being picked off by Roman soldiers, there's something going on with that faith. There's something in that I don't have. If you do your history lesson, you'll find that this is when Christianity spread like wildfire. Because people saw that they had hope, and I want in on that. You see, when we display a great countenance, when we smile, when we go out in the world and in the city and we showcase our experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, people want some of that. In today's text, Revelation chapter 21, we see some things that are helpful for us to live a life of hope. We identify a few things, and I don't know that I'll be able to go through all of them today. I already told Jesse I might not get through all my points today. But here we go. Watch this. Verse number 1 and number 2, what does he say? John observes, and he's hearing directly from Jesus himself. He says, watch this. He saw heaven coming down to earth. He didn't say people would dying and growing wings and flying up to heaven. He said, no, I'm bringing heaven to the new Jerusalem. I'm bringing it to earth. The Christian hope is that heaven is coming here. Our hope should be that God is doing something right here, right now. That he is involved in this world in bringing something new. He is redeeming and refreshing all that we are going through right now. In verse number 5, Jesus says, I am making all things new, everything new. We, as believers in Jesus Christ, we should have this hope that Jesus is changing and transforming our lives. That he is working behind the scenes. The song says, even when I don't feel it, you're working, right? He is working and moving in our lives, even when we see it or we don't. He's working all things together for our good. He's working so hard behind the scenes that he said, everything's going to work out for you. Just hold on. The trouble that you're in right now won't last always. That I got something better for you if you just keep holding on. He said, I'm at work making all things new. I'm at work making your life new. I'm at work making the earth brand new. I've been a part of two churches that have done capital improvements. Two churches in my history. One church purchased the land next to them to build an entire brand new church. It was right next door and we could see everything going well, and that was great. A beautiful new edifice, and we just moved on in. The other one, we did the work while we were in church. The work was going on to renew the building while we were having regular service, while the kids' ministry was going on, while everything, regular business as usual. I remember putting buckets up in the ceiling, trying to catch stuff and we roped off some seats, trying to make sure that stuff didn't hit nobody. We didn't want a lawsuit. We were reconfiguring, reconstructing, doing work in the building while we were in it. In the former example, that church, we never got to see any dust. We never got to see any construction work. We just kept looking over, and it just looked pretty. It was beautiful over yonder. And one day, we just walked on in and had service like there was nothing going on. It was beautiful. But in the latter example, it was a mess. Boy, it was a mess. We had dust everywhere. We had construction materials everywhere. Like I said, leaks from the roof and the walls busted up and all of this stuff going on. Listen, the church was messy and it wasn't always beautiful while we were going through. But in the end, we not only had something that was familiar, but we had something that was familiar and brand new at the same time. God is in the reconstructing business. He is in the renewal business. He is doing something in your life right now, and it might look messy. It might look worrisome. You might not see the light at the end of the tunnel, but you've got to trust that God is working everything out for your good. He's not building a new building for you to walk into. He's rebuilding you. My God. Jesus Christ is working on us, and he has promised us renewed life. He's promised us a redeemed body. He's promised us that our troubles won't last always. He's promised us a new earth because he's bringing heaven down to earth. And that should give us hope. That should encourage us. That should make us excited. God wants us to experience heaven on earth. And you don't have to die to experience some heaven on earth. Oh, God, what does that mean? What are you doing, Gary? What are you talking about? I believe that God wants to give us some divine experiences in this life right now with him. I believe that he wants to do the supernatural in your life right now. I believe that he wants to visit you and he wants you to open yourself up and say, God, whatever you want to do, have your way. He wants us to let go of all of our preconceived notions and just let him come in and flow through us. God wants to do some amazing things, and he wants us to experience some of that right now. So how do we do that? How do we experience heaven on earth today? I got something deep for you. Here it is. Point number one, pray. Oh, Gary, oh, yeah, I thought it was something deep. I thought you were going deep. I thought you were going to tell me to stand on one foot and say, no, I don't know what finger you're supposed to do. I thought you were going to tell me to go on the mountaintop and fast for 40 days. I thought you were going to tell me to give up sugar for a week. He says we need to pray if we want to see heaven come down to earth. Jesus tells us how to pray. He reminds us in Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 10. He says, when you pray, watch this, to the Father. Address him, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed is your name. Holy are you. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Right here as it is in heaven. Jesus is inviting us to call on God to bring heaven to earth right now. I don't know if that just makes me want to jump out of my skin. He's given us permission to call God the Father. Do it now, God. Do you believe it, though? Do you trust him enough to say, yeah, I'm going to just say this prayer? No, I believe, God, that you're going to do something right now. You're going to renew some things right now. You're going to transform some people right now. You're going to transform the Twin Cities right now. You're going to show your love right now. You're going to do an amazing thing right now. So we need to pray. We need to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. In Revelation 21, before I get too excited and out of breath, the Apostle John is writing here. And what does he do? What do we see? The Apostle John is telling us about a divine experience that he had. He's telling us about this experience where he is caught up in a whole nother consciousness. He's caught up in such a communication with God. He's not just laying down, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's all good and well. But John is doing real prayer. Prayer is the word prayer means, watch this, relational communication with God. Are you in a relationship? Are you talking to God like he is your Father? Or is he just something in the sky that is absolutely so far away from me? He's so otherworldly that I cannot relate. He says, I am your daddy. I am your father, Luke. He says, I am. Is he your father? Are you having a relational communication with him? John says, when I did that, God showed me something totally new. When I had relational communication with God, he took me into another consciousness. When I had a relational communication session with God, I didn't even know if I was in my body, if I was in heaven, where I was. He said, but God showed me heaven. He showed me the streets paved with gold. He showed me the gates made of pearl. He showed me the walls made of jasper. And he said, he showed me that there was nobody up there that was sad or upset. That God himself ruled among his people. That he wiped every tear from our eyes. That he made sure that we didn't go through grief anymore. That we were excited to be there with him. John tells us about this experience that he had, and he only had this experience because he was praying. Our God gave him visions. Our God gave him dreams. Our God gave him words. Our God gave him a new mindset, a new consciousness, took him to a whole nother level spiritually. Because he spent time with him. God wants to relate to us in a special, supernatural way. Have you ever prayed and got a result like John? Man, God will take you somewhere now. God will take you somewhere and you don't even know where you are. God will take you from the natural to the supernatural. He will take you to a new place spiritually if you allow him. God wants to surprise you. God is a God of surprises. God doesn't want to give you something that John already experienced. God doesn't want to give you something that Peter has already experienced. God doesn't want to give you something that Mary experienced. God doesn't want to give you what Gary has already experienced. God wants to give you something for you. God wants to give you a new vision for your life. God wants to give you dreams for your life. God wants to give you something that you can use for you and you can use to transform everything around you. But you've got to be open to his supernatural power. God wants to show you an experience like you've never had before. He wants to give you an experience that you can share with other people so that you can be a source of hope for your friends, for your family, for your coworkers, for your enemies. As you pray, I'm going to ask you to pray this week. Every day this week, if you're not in the habit of prayer, I want you to set a time or a reminder on your phone. Put it on your phone. Pray at a time where you can have some time to pray. And I want you to pray and anticipate God doing something miraculous in your life. I want you to pray and anticipate God doing something supernatural in your life, something that nobody else could have done. Only God could have shown up and done it. But I want you to anticipate that. I want you to expect that. God will surprise you. But I want you, as you pray, to also let go of some things. When you pray every day this week, I'm going to ask you to let go of something. I want you to let go of whatever is weighing you down. Some of you in here came in here today with stress on your mind. Your job is stressing you out. Your kids are stressing you out. That car that won't start. That house that you're about to get put out of. Your bills and your finances. Your spouse is getting on your last nerve. And that stress is on your mind and on your heart so much that you're being weighed down and you can't be free to receive all that God has for you. God wants you to lay that at his feet today. God wants you to be free so that you can fly, so that you can do and be all that he's calling you to be. Some of you came in here today with not just stress on your mind, but you came in with some a broken relationship that you just can't get over. Maybe it is your dad, and you came here on Father's Day, and you're like, I hope they don't say anything about fathers because my dad was no good. Or I had a bad relationship with my dad. Or my dad abused me, and I don't want to hear about dads on this day. God wants you to know that he is your heavenly father. And no matter what your earthly father has done, no matter the experience you've had with your earthly father, that does not reflect your heavenly father. He is your God. He loves you. He's standing with open arms waiting for you to come closer to him so he can just love on you. God loves you. He wants you to set down anything that's hindering you from hearing his voice. You know one other thing I want you to let go of? Your preconceived notions of God. See, some of you grew up in a denomination where you heard that God does not speak today. Maybe you've heard that God does not move in power, that all of that is Old Testament stuff. But I want you to know that God reveals himself today. The question is, are you opening your eyes to be observant to it? God wants to show you himself right now, not tomorrow, not the next day. He wants to bring heaven to earth in your life today. Are you going to let go of those things that are hindering you? Those walls that you've built up over your life to keep people from coming in, that bad experience that you've had, that you had at church, maybe somebody prayed for you and it didn't come to pass. Maybe somebody prayed for you and they said some things that offended you. Maybe somebody did something to you and you're like, I put up a wall now. You've got to knock down that wall. And you've got to bring that wall to Jesus and Jesus, do something with this wall. Tear it down, Jesus. Tear down. I want us to come to God open-handed. Say, God, I let go of everything that I'm holding on to because I want your experience. I want the experience you have for me. Are you willing to let go of the boxes you put God in? Well, God can only operate like this. God, let me tell you a little secret. He's God. He can blow up your boxes. He can do anything through anybody, through anything. And he can do that right now if you trust him. I'm going to do something different. Will everybody stand? Worship team, would you come? Prayer team, get ready. I trust that God is up to something today. He is up to something in your life right now. Maybe you've been stirred by something I've said, or maybe it's something I didn't say. But God is already working on you. He started working on you before this service even started. That there's something today you need to leave at this altar. There's something that's going on in your life that you need to let go of. Because you've been asking God for an experience, yet holding on to maybe your past. Holding on to a relationship that God told you to let go of a long time ago. I believe that he wants to set you free today. That he wants you to experience heaven in your life today. He's not waiting for you. Okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to get on my knees by the bed. And I'm going to say, God, will you? That's all good and well. But he is moving on your heart right now. And he says, don't miss this opportunity. Listen, if you need prayer, if you've come here today and you have a burden, you have something that is weighing you down, you have a history or a past that has held you back, you have been searching and seeking God for years, and you're like, God, I've been looking for that experience that my spouse had. I've been looking for that experience that my best friend had, but God said, I got experience for you. And it may not look like the experience somebody else had, but I will come and move on your heart. Do you believe in the supernatural? Do you believe that God can do any and all things? I want to take this moment to invite you to pray. If you got something on your heart, I want you to listen. If you're in fear right now, I don't want to be in front. The lights are on. I wish it was all dark. Nobody could see me. I want you to lay that at the altar right now. Won't you come? Holy Spirit, would you move? Holy Spirit, we invite you to make a move. Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you have your way? Holy Spirit, would you do your thing? Holy Spirit, would you show off and show out? Holy Spirit, will you move our hearts? Prayer teams, would you come and put a hand on the shoulder? If you're on the prayer team, would you come and put a hand on the shoulder? God, you're up to something. And you are setting us free. So we invite you to break us free today. Juneteenth might have been the day that we celebrate formerly enslaved people were set free. But God, you want to free us from the bondage that is holding our hearts down right now. So whatever is holding us back, holding me in my seat, I don't want to make that move. God, would you break that chain? For everybody who's here, God, would you rest on them right now, God? Would you bring your freedom and your peace, your joy and your love? Holy Spirit, would you come?